We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fan Hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Holland Capitis. The great NFL insider John Clayton is back with us. So much NFL, so much Steelers news to talk about. Deshaun Watson, full go at Texans camp, Chris. The new head coach of the Texans. Let's see here. The quote from David Culley. It's not been a distraction to us at all. Watson, very professional. John, fans here want to know why Deshaun Watson is at practice and why he's not being suspended under the Ben Roethlisberger precedent of damaging the shield and having behavior that is not up to par with what the NFL demands out of its stars.
Well, you can never guess a lot of times what Roger Goodell is going to do as far as punishment, because it's different every time. There's not like one standard. I think, you know, it's so different about this case is that it's going to take until next May to July to be able to get these cases in court. You know, he's going to be deposed on February 22nd. And so I think the thought is like, okay, he may be okay for this year because, you know, there's, and again, I know that there's, of the 22 women, there's about 7 to 9 that are actually talking to police, but there's no police charge, just like there wasn't in the Ben Roethlisberger situation. But, you know, I think that, you know, he came to camp with the idea, it's like, okay, I can not lose anything. I don't need to lose $50,000 a day for being out of camp. And then if he's gone on paid leave on the commissioner's list as the exempt list, then, of course, I mean, he gets full pay overall. So I think he just takes the tack that it's like, okay, I'm coming back even though I don't want to be here. I think he's still hoping for it. I know he's still hoping for a trade, and that may happen if Philadelphia comes up with 3 first-round picks and a little bit more to satisfy the Texans. But I'm kind of getting the feeling he could play this year. But you notice what he did today at practice. I mean, basically, he was kind of a fill-in in the defensive backfield. He really didn't do much with the first-team offense.
Oh. So you just said you think he might play this year. Is that ultimately how you think this shakes out for the immediate term, John? Like, what do you think the next step is in this particular story as far as it pertains to him being on the field or not for Houston?
Well, even though it didn't apply to Ben Roethlisberger, I think he prefers the case and the cases to be determined, and then he'll make that decision. And right now, again, with nothing happening until May to July of next year, you know, there's not going to be anything outruled against him. So it's like, you know, I think that there is that thought that they can do it. And, of course, you know, now what we find out that the Texans were, you know, obviously lying because, you know, they were saying, we're not going to trade him. We're not going to trade him. We're not listening to any trade talks. Now we find out that before the draft, they were actually talking some trade, you know, whether it was with Denver, Philadelphia, or whoever. And then, you know, now it's a matter of, okay, where can it go? Can he get the price for him or anything else? So that's all up in the air, but in the end, you know, he's been professional. I mean, he's not said anything or done anything. Or
I'm just amazed, though, John. I'm amazed that the NFL, a league that I know Andrew has talked about this before, about how odd the coverage has been to some degree of this. Like, it was a huge story and that it hasn't been talked about much. I'm just shocked that the NFL is so concerned about optics is just, I guess, allowing this to sort of play out and twist in the wind this way.
Yeah, but that's the NFL. I mean, again, there's no standard. I mean, you've seen suspensions of, you know, different things through the years, and it's like, okay, is there one gauge that you have on one like this? I know that the NFL prefers to wait until the cases are decided. They didn't do that with Ben. They did that with others. But still, that's just the NFL. I mean, it's very different in the way they handle things. And this is obviously one of the most unusual cases you're ever going to find. I mean, you know, 22 women involved, claiming, sexual disadvantages that happened. And so welcome to the NFL.
John Clayton, our guest here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, John, what is your, from everything you've read and you've heard and you've seen from the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, your big takeaway on that situation is what?
Wow. I mean, it's just amazing. And again, you notice I made the switch a couple weeks ago and said he was going to be there. And I didn't know he was going to be there for the start of camp or not. But apparently they made enough concessions that he could at least somehow come in and survive for a little bit. But boy, that press conference today was incredible. It's one of the most pointed press conferences I think I've ever heard in the National Football League. Because, I mean, he called out management big time. I mean, he said that, he didn't like the idea that they let too many good players go. I mean, Corey Lindley. I mean, he didn't name them all, but it's like Corey Lindley they let go. The starting center is a Pro Bowl center. Brian Bulaga. I mean, he thought that Jake Kumerow was one that he thought was the second best wide receiver on the team in training camp last year, and they cut him. I mean, he didn't like that. He didn't like the way that they're doing things with personnel, period. And so he called everybody out in the front office. I mean, particularly, even though he didn't name the general manager, he basically pointed his finger at the general manager. And, he got the concession. It's like, okay, I want Randall Cobb to come in because I need somebody I know to help me out catching the football. And so that's one where, he got that concession. And then he also got the concession that, most likely if he wants to go to another team next year, he can go, even though at the moment it's not formally in writing. But again, it was a very pointed press conference. And it just kind of tells you this is the last hurrah for this Green Bay Packer group because, as good as it's been with the five championships they've been to, one Super Bowl, how good it's been as far as going to back-to-back 13 wins and going to the NFC Championship game, this is it. And you see a lot of problems on this team that's probably going to pull them down from that 13-win level. For example, they had Davante Adams having his press conference today. He's in the last year of his contract and was graded out to be the best wide receiver in the league last season. And he says, I want to be paid as the best wide receiver in the league. And right now it's not even close. Last Friday, Zadarius Smith, their best pass rusher, Pro Bowl pass rusher as an outside linebacker, he complained about his contract. So this team is a complete and total mess because of management.
I guess it's just amazing that he's going to come back and play when he hates them and they probably hate him. And it's just going to be the single most tense. I guess I'm looking forward to the Packers season because I feel like it has the potential to be the most tense and passive-aggressive season a team has ever had. Just absolutely compelling theater to see how things go, especially if they end up being good. Because I feel like it's a bunch of people that hate each other who are going to try to coexist for one more bite at the apple.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've seen it a lot of times in the NFL, and we've seen it in baseball and seen it in other sports. I mean, this is a very tense, bad situation. And, I mean, even go back, even though we didn't know the particulars during last season, there was major problems with the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, for
Carson
example,
Wentz, yep.
Carson Wentz didn't like being criticized the way he's been criticized, and it wasn't just the coaches. It was the front office people. Doug Peterson, didn't like the wide receiver decision early in the draft last year, and then he started the feud with the front office and didn't like the directions and orders that they were giving him, and so he ends up getting fired. So we see the tensions. Sometimes we don't see it as open as the Green Bay Packers because at least with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he opened everything up. We know where everything stands, and it's not good. And so they've made it a clear point that they're not going to fire the general manager. They're going to keep him, but as far as Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I think it's almost a guarantee that he's out of there after the season. And Adams is not going to sign a contract because I don't think they're going to pay him as the highest paid wide receiver, as DeAndre Hopkins type money. So, yeah, and I don't know about David Bakhtiari, the left tackle. His contract is up. I mean, this is a mess.
John, I don't disagree with how he's now a lame duck quarterback there, that this is his last season and then he's out of there. I wonder if the way he conducted himself both today and just blasting his organization while wearing a Packers hat in a Packers shirt in front of Packers personnel and a Packers logo, if that is going to turn teams off next offseason. Like, did he actually do damage to his value by being so transparent and brutally honest about things? You think there might be teams that are turned off by that, John?
I don't think so. I mean, he's
because he's
of
that
a
good. He's that good. That's
yeah,
the bottom line.
He's that good, and then on top of it, I mean, you know, there are probably going to be more teams that will agree with him than will agree with the Packers.
Interesting.
Because again, did they get him receiver help last year? No. Did they keep on losing guys on the offensive line? Yes. And how much are they just not wanting to pay some of the guys whose contracts are up on the team? So no, I think that you're going to have a lot of front offices that agree. And of course, to get a quarterback like him, and really compared to what it's going to be, if Deshaun Watson gets traded. Now again, they're asking prices: 3 first round picks, 2 other high picks, or 2 good starters. You're probably going to get Aaron Rodgers for a first rounder next year, and a second rounder that upgrades to a first. So you can get Aaron Rodgers because he's older and cheaper. They'll probably have to give him a contract extension. But the fact that he's older, I mean, he comes in at a cheaper price, I think, than Deshaun Watson.
Do you think the Steelers should or will be interested in Aaron Rodgers if it comes to that, John?
If Ben's not back, yeah, I think they have to consider it strongly because, you've seen that Kevin Colbert's been a little bit more aggressive in, trading to get the players that he wants. I mean, he traded up to 10 to get Devin Bush. I mean, he made the trade to get Mika Fitzpatrick. And, of course, now if Ben's not back next year, and I still don't rule out the fact that Ben could be back, then I think you definitely have to look at Aaron Rodgers because, I mean, you still want to keep going for that Super Bowl run.
John, we've had a little bit, and it's been mitigated today. There was some discussion about vaccinated, unvaccinated players with the Steelers. Najee Harris had to wear this band on his wrist that signified and showed at practices that he wasn't vaccinated. And now there are reports from practice today that he's no longer donning that wrist. So it looks like, he's gotten the vaccine. But then you've got people like Cole Beasley, an all-pro wide receiver in Buffalo, who's doubling back down and saying guys need to, learn. They need to get better, well-informed. The vaccine isn't for everyone. He's doubling down on this. Do you think that this vaccinated versus unvaccinated player debate is going to tear apart and cause teams to maybe blow up or have huge fights this season, John?
I think so. I mean, for example, Jerry Hughes of the Buffalo Bills was very critical of Cole Beasley for the tack that he's taken. And then, I mean, you can see that you got major problems with the Washington football team because they have the lowest percentage at 60%. And so they could be at a real competitive disadvantage with all the unvaccinated players if they end up getting COVID-19. And what I'm amazed at right now is yesterday's waiver wire had 15 players go on it with COVID-19. And the understanding is 14 of them tested positive. And now to it's a point where, since camps are now opening, there are more than 40 players on the COVID-19 list. How bad is that? I mean, it's not even comparable to last year. And so you've got more positive tests than ever before and significantly more than last year. So you have to think that this is a major problem and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so, I think that the idea that the NFL is forcing teams and players to get the vaccinations is a good thing because, you can have that outbreak. And now as you get to the regular season, you put yourself in a position where you have to forfeit games. You got families going to be affected by this. I mean, it's bad.
I guess I'm just surprised, John. I mean, I'm trying to phrase this the right way. I am surprised given that I think, what's the number lately? 85% of the league is estimated to have been fully vaccinated or at least partially vaccinated. I'm surprised we're still seeing so many positive tests pop here. Understand that there are breakthrough positives here, but I would think it seems like it's guys that are unvaccinated still more often than not. Almost like the handful of guys or the small percentage of guys that are not vaccinated across the league seem to be contracting this at a remarkable rate.
Yeah, it's up to 86%, and you got 18 teams with 90% or more, and so that's that's encouraging. But again, it's there's so many players that still haven't gotten this, and they're getting positive tests. Now, again, there are vaccinated players that are testing positive for COVID-19. That's a little scary. But in the end, I think what you're looking at is that more players need to get vaccinated. And I know, like, for example, Sam Darnold, who was kind of against it, he ended up getting vaccinated. Interesting that Najee Harris probably ended up doing the same thing. And, there's all the criticism from the Players Association that's like, why do we have to wear the yellow armbands or the handbands just to show that we are not vaccinated? Well, because you need to be vaccinated.
John, thank you so much. Can't wait to talk again next week.
Hey, by the way, tell me Tyler Anderson. What's the Mariners expect in him?
Five innings, three runs, four strikeouts, two walks, a start.
Yeah, good outing will be six innings, two runs.
Correct. Does that sound about right? You're the baseball guy.
Lefty junk baller who's fun to watch when he gets it going.
Yeah. Wait, didn't the Mariners just trade their best closer?
Yeah, like
their best
relief pitcher? What's going on there?
I mean, it was stupid because, I mean, here's a team that's, nine games over 500, eight games over 500. They have such unity in the locker room, and the locker room was just devastated and, shouting at the management for doing this. I mean, it was just a horrible move. And then you trade a relief pitcher, a closer, with an 0.82 earned run average and a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to Houston, your division rival. Stupid.
John Clayton, everyone. Thank you, John.
Okay, thanks.
Right back into regular John Clayton mode at the very end.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.